Our first guests this week are Jake Gyllenhaal and Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, who are the stars of Michael Bay's new movie, Ambulance, which is out today as you're listening to this, but not in the States. You won't get it for another 2 weeks. Ha ha ha. Screw you, America. And I don't know why, but we get it early for some reason. Who knows? But they play brothers, Danny Sharp and Will Sharp, who get involved in a bank robbery. That's a very nice way of saying it. They stage a bank robbery, and then it goes horribly wrong, and they make their escape by commandeering an ambulance. On that ambulance is Isaac Gonzalez's paramedic and a shot cop who may be bleeding out. So a chase ensues across Los Angeles. Will the brothers make it out? Will anyone make it out? Will there be explosions? Of course there will be explosions. It is a Michael Bay film. So Jake and Yahya were in London yesterday for the premiere of the movie / special screening of the movie. And I went along and talked to them in a London hotel room. So here we go. Yahya Abdul-Mateen II and Jake Gyllenhaal. Do please enjoy. Welcome to the Emperor Podcast, Jake and Yahya. How are you both?
Doing well.
Really well.
Good. Have you been pivoting back and forth between in-person interviews and Zoom? Is that weird for you both?
Yes, we have been.
Yeah, we have been. In-person is nice. It's refreshing for me. You know what I mean? It's been a while. You know what I mean? Doing a lot of Zoom interviews, and I'm starting to feel like a computer person a little bit. You know, it's nice to be in person.
When you meet someone and you're being interviewed by them and you can actually see they're wearing trousers.
Right.
That's a good thing. I guess.
I just bestow that upon everybody. You know, I just give them pants.
Not to pull back the curtain too much, but everyone who's interviewed you guys over the last 2 years has been wearing nothing
down below.
Yeah. Pajamas or shorts at best, Jake.
Okay.
Shorts at best.
Okay.
What about you guys? Did you get dressed up for Zoom interviews? Did you do the whole kit and caboodle? Or
I do.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
That's good. That's dedication. I like that.
When I was 19, I had an interview for some type of city planning job or something like that, and I kid you not, it was over the phone, and I wore my full suit. I wore my suit. I had my briefcase.
On
I
the
set
phone.
Up. I was a very serious
yes.
student. You
I
know
can
what I mean?
See that.
You know what I'm saying? You can see that. I set up my desk and everything in the middle of the living room. I put up my Do Not Disturb, and I wore a suit. Did not get the job. Oh my God!
There's a lesson there somewhere.
Don't interview with your friends who you thought you were your friends, but you know.
That's a longer podcast for you.
That's a longer podcast.
Sounds like that's a longer podcast.
I'm not salty about that job at all.
No, that's good. Listen, everything happens for a reason. Yeah, Jacob, apart from obviously Liz, have you had any bad interview experiences or over the years?
No.
No.
Never.
You're good.
I've never had. No. I love every interview I ever do. And it's a wonderful experience. I do like this form of interview because it allows for an informality that I think is much nicer than kind of the like really rigid like deliver a soundbite kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think you can really get the sense of who someone is and the rhythm that they speak and how they interact for real, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So this I prefer. And Chris, you're a number one on my list, and the Empire podcast is as well. Empire has been, you know, I don't know, feels like it's a part of me now, you know, in a way. I can't pass through London without it, and I can't really make a movie without you guys. So
no, we're always shadowing you at some point.
Yeah, your love of movies is unmatched. So,
this is good. Jake, I will PayPal you the agreed fee.
There you go again. I'm more of a cash man, but if you want to, there we are with all this like...
All this electronic,
yeah, electronic stuff.
That was the drop of all drops just now.
Yeah.
That's going to be at the beginning of the podcast for the rest of time.
It's really true though, because Empire is such a wonderful, you know, periodical, but there are so many offshoots and so many great people who work at it. And over the years, I've met so many of them.
That's nice.
So devoted to film, love film, all kinds. Definitely judgment, but no judgment too, in a way. I'm down with Empire.
That's good to know. That's good to know. Well, listen, if we can get the Mutual Appreciation Society going here, I loved the film. I thought it was absolutely terrific. And the best slice of Bayhem, I would say, since The Rock.
Yes.
And that film's in the Criterion Collection. So, you know it's good. Mm. And
And it must have been really interesting for you guys to film this. I mean, we're in a really cramped space right now. Did you come to hate the ambulance at a certain point? Or did you embrace it every day, going into that location, those cramped quarters with Bay holding the camera right in your face?
We didn't really get to hate it. I didn't really.
I don't think I did. I didn't always love it. I mean, you get stiff. You got to get out and stretch. You know,
hard to keep your energy up.
Hard to keep your energy up sometimes.
You're not driving down the street in a real one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hard to keep the energy up sometimes.
And like, if there's everybody in there and they're ready to shoot, and you like don't feel like you have your energy up, you have to hop out and you have to do stuff outside. Everyone's waiting for it. Hop back in.
Yeah, because the energy on the street in Los Angeles, it's real. You know, and we're driving. You can feel the vibration of the ambulance. You can feel it rocking. Then, you know, you have that natural adrenaline. But then when you sit it down in the studio, then you really have to sort of regenerate, you know, or regenerate that, you know, that energy. But that's what the exercise is.
I was amazed at him because he had to drive all, you know, and fake driving. I mean, he did real driving and all that stuff. But there's a lot of fake driving, too.
A lot of fake driving.
And that's really hard to, like, get your energy up for. You know, and there's some shots in the movie I see where you're because the only way you can get your energy up is by like jiggling the wheel a lot.
So
you were doing that a lot. You would sort of like grab it and shake it.
Get it somewhere.
Bang on the honk the horn. You know, that was your thing to get your energy up. You'd be like in the scene, you'd be like, out of the way,
out of the way,
you know. But it's hard because like it's, you're not moving. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And you're not driving.
It's tough. I mean, how many old films do you see with the rear projection? From the 40s and 50s, and the guys are driving like that, and you'd be off the road into a tree.
Yeah. I did that.
There's
a couple
one
times.
Shot actually.
Did it make
one
the
shot
movie?
In the movie? No, but there's one shot in the movie where like I'm like, he's totally not driving. and it's actually, and for a majority of the movie, I don't ever think that. But there's one where you're like going back and forth really fast, you know, like with the wheel.
Yeah.
You're going, what is it? What are you doing back there like that? And I was like, yeah.
He's not driving.
You're not driving. Because if you were driving, the car would be going like, brruh, 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 like.
But there's a couple of times where I'm thinking, I wish that I was in a studio, you know, so that I could have just like looked away,
focused
on the other person for a little bit. Because no one actually, I mean, sometimes they think, well, you know, he's not driving for real because he's how are you not looking at the person without crashing? But
Or
maybe I'm just vain and just wanted like a better, you know, better light,
yeah, better
just,
angle.
Yeah, just a better angle.
Yeah, don't look away for 30 seconds.
He has a number of really good angles in this, I think. So I don't think you should be concerned.
And that's mostly Bay himself, isn't it? You know, with the camera shooting you guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, that must help.
And also Roberto, our cinematographer.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing about him is, Mr. Bay, is that he is so profoundly energetic that his camera sort of like diviner of action and the things that he believes are, you know, full of, you know, energy and life. So he wants this agile technique where he can kind of move where he feels like is interesting. And so this movie was all handheld, all in our face, changing different shots, moving around, and all of us working together in a very small space. Like, he's like, move this, take this, move over there, grab this, you know, and that was happening all the time. So it was interesting to watch him be so confident and agile with his camera in such a massive, I mean, he always called this his little movie, you know? So it was just, but really, really fascinating to watch him navigate knowing the movie he was making as he was making it. He's very astute. And then finding something new and then changing the movie based on what he found and he thought was more interesting. He's really an auteur of action.
You know what? It's kind of sort of coming to my mind. Michael sort of made this movie as if he wrote the script, you know, to me. He was so in tune with it. He knew what it needed. He knew what the with the story. I mean, I guess any director should be that much in tune. But there's just, you know, a little bit of a difference in the way that he quarterbacked this film.
Well, the structure existed. So all those main structural points, the characters, their sort of moral dilemmas, all things they're in there, those were all there. That never changed. But him knowing that and then moving, he would then find minutiae every day.
Yeah.
And you just fill in more and more stuff that hadn't been there.
Yeah.
So in a way, I guess you're saying he was sort of, as like any great director does, is sort of rewriting and rewriting and rewriting. But Chris Fedick did a really beautiful job with the structure of the movie and those huge pillars that exist that really, I think, carry the movie and make it work come from Chris.
Yeah, no doubt.
When I spoke to Michael for the magazine, he was telling me that there was quite a bit of improv from you in particular, Jake, because Will's obviously the center, the emotional center of the movie, and he's a bit more focused. And Danny's a firecracker of a character. So is that something that you were able to lean into?
I see tons of things in this movie as improv that I don't even remember saying.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we would roll for a long period of time, and I would just throw line after line after line, and then he'd throw something back at me, I'd throw it again. And I would say there are probably a good 10, 15 lines in there that just came from just absurd improvisation. And by the way, I never thought they would make him in the movie. It was just, you know, Michael just would laugh. And so as he would laugh, I would just want to do more. And then he'd laugh more. And then I'd go, oh, God, push it. And that was really fun for me because I do think Danny, the character I play, is in a way the engine for the movement of the movie and that, you know, getting away from everybody, running from everybody. That's Danny's engine that's doing it.
And is that difficult for you then? Because obviously Will has to fulfill a specific function in the movie and Jake's throwing out these lines and you went, I want a piece of that. I did want a piece of that.
I did. And, we tried to find it, but at the end of the day, it's not about me. You know, it's about Will and it's about serving Will. And, so we find other ways to find that excitement, the fight scene in the front, or some of the more comical moments in the back, dealing with the surgery, in that procedure, the moments to sing and things like that. But it's definitely sort of like a tag team, effort, and we all have our roles. And I do look at that Danny character and I'm a bit jealous, I'm definitely, that's one that I like to try on those shoes.
So you didn't toss out some improv just in the hope that
I definitely did. Yeah. I mean, it was, free game to improve upon the foundation that was already set. And Mike would improv with the scenes that he wanted to direct. The Los Angeles River scene was something that was, that was a directing improvisation, of its own.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't in the script, yeah. Yeah, no, that wasn't.
And I, without getting into spoilers, obviously, I want to talk a little bit about morality as well, what sort of conversations you had with Michael and maybe even Chris as well about the characters, because there's a really interesting moral shift and a moral dilemma at the center of the film as well. Danny, I guess, would be quote-unquote more of an overt bad guy in classic Hollywood parlance. But Will is morally compromised as well because of his actions. Did you discuss the outcomes and what the characters are going through in those terms?
I would say that. I just want to say, about Danny. In the end, what happens with Danny is that obviously he's a bank robber and the heist gets botched and he has to deal with it. But as the heist gets botched, I think the pressure on him to help his brother, who he's not unaware, is in a serious dilemma. I don't think he's just asking for his brother to be there because he just needs an extra man. He loves his brother deeply. Mm-hmm. And once they get too far, Danny's then just, out to save his brother. Yeah. And in the end, I think, you don't want to give too much away, but morally, I think Danny does something that's really moving to me in the end, where he, I don't want to give too much away, but I think in terms of morals, he actually does have an arc and he does change. He makes a choice. So even though he might be the not the best intentioned, I think in the end he really loves his brother. He's able to love.
I mean, Will, Michael always talked about, this guy's a Marine. Morals, the code was something that was very important. To come across. The fact that he left one life to live a very different type of life. He says, I'm a changed guy now. I'm more straight laced. I want to have a wife and a family to stand up for what's right. And then this thing lands in my lap and I don't have any options. But I still have a heart and I'm a man and I have to do something about it. And so that he was called to do something that really went against his morals, you know, mm-hmm. and that's one of the battles that Will faces throughout the entire film.
And just real quick, because I gotta let you guys go, but did you guys go on a brothers' boot camp? How did you get to know each other to fill in those years of backstory that Danny and Will have?
We didn't go on a brothers' boot camp. I think first of all, it was COVID. So there was really no spending time with each other until we shot, though we met a couple times before we shot. I mean, I think for us, like he's one of six, you know, siblings. I have my siblings and we know what it's like to be a sibling. And Yaya just has such a wonderful heart and he's such a humble, thoughtful, kind person that the second I met him, it was hard not to love him. And we just went from there. He's also a super smart actor. And so all the questions he was asking, I agreed with. It felt like we were coming from the same place. And I think in a lot of ways, that's what siblings do. They come from the same place.
Yeah.
So it was easy for us to build. And then I think also just this question of him being adopted and what we went through like as kids and what people said to us, you know, that we take for granted.
Yeah.
The thing that we have.
Yeah.
Other people may look at it a certain way, but we take it for granted. That was a huge discussion for the two of us. It was more of a general overall conversation philosophically, I feel like, character-based, but no boot camp. The boot camp came when we made a movie with
my brother. Yeah.
Now we're officially brothers.
That's where the boot camp came in.
Amazing. Well, guys, on that note, I'm going to let you go. Jake, I will, of course, PayPal you the agreed fee. It was £5.
Great. I don't have PayPal.
Damn it. I'll keep the £5 in.
That was easy.
This is how that works.
I've come out on top.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Cheers, guys.
Appreciate it.